people, welcome to Have Guitar Will Travel, presented by Vintage Guitar Magazine. With your host, me, James Patrick Regan, otherwise known as Jimmy from the Deadlies. And today I'm speaking with Kelly Ogden, bassist and singer with the Dolly Rods. In our conversation, Kelly talks about drummers and the band's tour schedule. Kelly discusses the band's core, herself and her husband Luis, and tells us about the two managing the band. And Kelly talks about her side gig as a DJ on Little Steven's Underground Garage on Sirius XM Channel 21. Kelly tells us about her and the band's musical history, her starting on guitar and moving to bass early on as they moved from Florida to California, and Kelly talks about her bass of choice, the Gibson Thunderbird, and her evolution to that model bass. And she discusses her amps both on the road and at home. Kelly describes some of the business of the band and talks about the importance of merch. Kelly talks about the musicians that inspired her early on, the Breeders and the Cramps, and the ones that inspired her vocally. To find out more about Kelly, you can go to the Dolly Rots website, dollyrots.com. That's dollyrots.com. Please subscribe, like, comment, share, and most of all, review this podcast. I really appreciate it. And please support Vintage Guitar Magazine and all the wonderful things they do for us guitar players, because they do so many wonderful things for us guitar players. Here's my friend Kelly. Hey there, Kelly.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Good. Are you at home?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Let me just start off with an oddball question. How did you guys get hooked up with Dusty Watson?
Oh, that's a really good question. So we have gone through a couple of drummers over our existence as a band.
That's my next question.
And, yes, and Ricky Sticks, who is married to Dusty.
Yeah.
She was with us for a number of years.
Okay.
So, yeah.
What is your problem with drummers?
The problem. I think it's more that the band's been around over 20 years. And, you know, it's my husband, Lewis, and me primarily, and then a drummer. And, you know, a lot of the drummers have just kind of grown up and had families or, you know, started their own bands.
Sure.
Just wanted to do different things.
Yeah. So drummers are usually the business people in the band. And but but maybe not in your
this
case.
One, or we'd be screwed. That's funny.
So how many drummers have you had in the band? Do you know?
Oh, my gosh. Someone told me we passed Spinal Tap, so that's at least 12, right? 11, 12. I think we're at like 13, but I mean, our main drummers in the past, I would say like 15 years, we've had four,
okay.
I think.
Yeah. And when you, so you're going to go out with Bowling for Soup. Is Dusty going to play with you then?
No, that will be Simon.
Okay.
Our drummer, Simon. Simon Hancock. We met him over 20 years ago in Los Angeles. We were all part of this little scene called Kiss or Kill. And his band had moved from England.
Okay.
And they were called the King Cheetah. Really cool band. And so we met him that many years ago. And when we toured with Bowling for Soup and Lit a couple years back in England, he came out to a show and he's like, you know, I'd love to drum with you guys anytime you want. And, you know, our drummer, Justin, he had been with us, oh, I don't know, probably like 5 years-ish.
Okay.
He had just had a kid and he was ready to, you know, have a real job and stuff.
Sure.
And so it just timed out perfectly for us to have Simon join us.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's been with us a couple years now.
Okay.
It is a little bit complicated when people are like, hey, can you play this thing real quick this weekend? Or like, well, our drummer lives in England. But maybe.
Do you guys get called up to do gigs, like one-off gigs, like just crazy one-off gigs?
Yeah, I mean, every now and then there'll be a festival and someone will be like, oh, we had someone drop off. Can you guys come this weekend and play? Because last year we played something in Pennsylvania and it was that kind of situation. But somehow our sound engineer, our drummer and our tour manager, everybody was like, okay. And we just flew there and it worked out. I love doing those kinds of things.
Sure. Are you guys?
I don't have enough time to get nervous.
Yeah. For the most part, are you guys self-managed?
Yeah, totally. We do have a booking agent, a lawyer, and PR.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, anytime we've had management in the past, you know, it could be helpful, especially when we were younger and didn't know what the hell we were doing. But, you know, these days I feel like we want to direct where we're going ourselves, and we're kind of grown-ups. We've been doing it over 20 years. I feel like, you know, it's better if we make the decisions.
Yeah.
And keep the money.
Of course. the new record that's coming out that you're working on with Leslie Gortoon, Is that on your label?
So we've been releasing things with Wicked Cool Records.
Okay.
It's Stevie Van Zandt's label.
Yeah.
Because I also have a radio show on his channel, Underground Garage, on SiriusXM.
Sorry for not knowing that, but that's pretty cool.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, that's like my day gig. Uh-huh. Is I'm usually the morning person, and then I do Friday nights.
Oh, right on.
So, yeah, I'm on there all the time. But the way I got that gig was Stevie loved our music.
Yeah.
When we were on Blackheart Records, uh-huh. Our song Because I'm Awesome, you know, Underground Garage played it a lot. We got to meet Stevie. Joan Jett had a show on that channel for a while at that point. And we had always stayed in touch. And then, you know, one of the guys, Dennis, he came out to one of our shows in New Jersey. He was like, hey, why don't you put out a 7-inch with our label? You know, no commitment. It's fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a few years ago, and we've been releasing things with them. And,
yeah.
You know, it's cool. We still do things with, like, Cleopatra Records. We can put things out ourselves. We can do compilations. You know, Stevie's just... he's a musician who really, really loves music and musicians.
Sure.
So he's happy for us to do whatever we want.
Yeah.
So
that's
it's perfect.
Great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So sorry for the softball question, but what drew you to bass?
Well, I feel like it's the story with a lot of bass players. I was playing rhythm guitar. And our bass player, he couldn't change his schedule. We were in college at the time. It was me, Lewis, our bass player, Josh, and our drummer. Why can't I think of his name? Ben. Mike Benbo. That's why. And it was the four of us. And Lewis was actually the only one who knew how to really play an instrument. He had been playing guitar, you know, since he was 15-ish in his bedroom. You know, he taught himself with, you know, guitar magazines, learning all the tab, all that stuff. You know, it was in the mid-90s. I had picked up an acoustic guitar. I don't know if you can see it. A nice Samick there.
Okay.
I decided I was going to be a folk singer.
Okay.
And then I asked Lewis to teach me a little bit. And, you know, he taught me some punk rock songs, some Nirvana songs.
Sure.
And then I was like, oh, maybe I need an electric guitar. But yeah, the band was started as a joke the very end of our college years.
Okay.
We both have biology degrees, and we're like, we'll just do the band, just, you know, for shits and giggles. It'll be great.
Yeah.
And then we're like, well, I really like this, you know, and maybe we'll move to California and, you know, we'll just do music for 1 year and establish residency, and then we can, you know, do grad school in California. And it just kind of spiraled out of control. But the drummer was working. He couldn't really move.
Uh-huh.
So at that point, we had a new drummer we moved to L.A. with. And the bass player, same. He wasn't going anywhere. And so I had to learn everything on bass, which meant I only kind of knew guitar. I was playing bar chords, you know. So I transitioned it to playing bar chords on bass, but holding down less strings.
Yeah.
Pretty much same strumming, you know, so it kind of looks like a Lemmy style of bass at this point, because it's been like 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And I haven't changed my technique that much. I mean, I don't play, you know, just the root note anymore. Sometimes I do, because I'm also the lead singer.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, complicated. But yeah, I still strum. I still have to do a lot of muting with my left hand.
Okay.
In the studio, we work with John Fields. He's been our producer over 20 years.
Okay.
We met accidentally in California when he got this commercial. We got this commercial. We were all there. We're like, holy crap, this is happening. It was a HP commercial. They needed a crappy garage band. So long story short, we met that day and we recorded our first album once the ad guys left. And John and I have this dance where I will play the part I'm going to play, or like play the song through, and he uses his fingers to mute things.
Oh, wow.
It might be buzzing a little bit, because live, you know, it doesn't matter so much. But in the studio, you know,
live it's probably
helps
better.
Live.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It gives us a little grr, because it's a 3-piece band. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I was going to ask you that. Like, apart from yourself, have you ever had another guitar player?
No. Well, no, we haven't. It's always been me, Lewis, and drums.
Okay.
We pretended that we had one. We got to do a CSI New York episode.
Okay.
And they just wanted me to do it because there was a real actress playing the drummer. And it was a Steinberger. Is that the name of those basses without the heads?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So that was the murder weapon. Someone got murdered with one of those. And so I got the gig, but I was like, but I want my real band to be the band in the episode. And they're like, oh, I don't think we're going to be able to do that. Is that a deal breaker for you? And I was like, well, yeah, it kind of is. I was so stupid. Like, now I'm like, why would you do that? But then they agreed to it. And so our actual drummer, her name's Amy Wood, she pretended to be a guitar player.
Okay.
So on that episode, it's Amy and Lewis playing guitar. I'm playing the Steinberger and actresses on the drums.
Okay.
But it's ridiculous. But yeah, it's the only time we've had another guitarist.
Yeah. So for the most part, I've seen you play Thunderbirds.
Yeah.
Is that, I mean, why would you pick, it's a beautiful instrument. I'm fond of them myself, but it's about the longest scale bass that you could pick.
Yeah. So it wasn't by choice. I started out on a Music Master. Well, I started out on like a Carlo Robbielli, you know, on
sure.
sale
yeah.
silver glitter guitar.
Yeah.
And then we were in Los Angeles at this point, and we had gone down to the vintage section. I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
And there was this Olympic white Music Master. And I was like, oh, this feels really good. Like,
yeah,
I really like this. And Lewis just so happens to have the matching guitar.
Oh, wow.
And so it was just really cool. It was like, oh my gosh, we can play this matching vintage set.
Yeah.
So I played that for a little while. And then I got a P bass, uh-huh. which is actually my main recording bass.
Okay.
It's an American P bass from the 90s.
Okay.
And then I got a jazz bass. It was a Japanese jazz bass.
Sure.
Also worked. That one felt a little closer to the Thunderbirds. But long story short, we were on Blackheart Records, and we were playing South by Southwest the year that Joan Jett's signature guitar came out.
Sure.
And so we were doing a bunch of stuff with Gibson as a label, uh-huh. and so Gibson gifted us guitars. So Lewis got the Joan Jett signature, and I got the Thunderbird.
Okay.
And I remember plugging it in at sound check because they were like, you need to play this today if you could, you know, while you're on stage with Joan. And I was like, oh no. I plugged it in and I actually cried. I was like, I can't do this. Like, this sounds so weird because
oh, yeah.
the output is so different.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I freaked out, but I didn't really have a choice.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a creature of habit. Like, once I get used to something, I don't change. Like,
yep.
I don't like to swap out. So, you know, I've got like six different Thunderbirds now. And, you know,
yeah.
my favorite one is actually that one. It's a Studio 4. And I love it because it has the rounded body.
Sure, sure.
And then I've got Epiphones, Thunder, like Gibsons, and I sanded down this one that I like to play uh-huh. live. And it's a white Epiphone made in China.
Wow.
I think 2010.
Okay.
Lewis bought it for me for my birthday on Craigslist for $250. But it's my second favorite Thunderbird.
Yeah.
It's just perfect. I love it. It
yeah.
sounds great. The neck feels exactly right.
Yeah.
So those are like my two main ones right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. It's funny how that works though. Like, I've got this awesome Schecter. It's the one that kind of looks like a Thunderbird. It sounds great.
Oh yeah.
But like, I can't be looking at my fretboard while I'm performing,
yeah.
you know? And so if it's not a Thunderbird neck, like, I get a little discombobulated if
sure.
the body's not quite right. So
yeah,
so I'm stuck.
Yeah. Has Gibson talked about making you a signature bass?
You know, not in a long time, because we had a sponsorship with them forever. I snapped the neck off one, they fix it. And,
uh-huh.
you know, we've gotten like loaners over time,
sure, sure.
Things like that. But the artist relations kind of fell apart for a little while, and then we didn't really pursue much. But
uh-huh.
I kind of wonder, there aren't many of us out there. Definitely not a whole lot of female basses that play a Thunderbird. So.
Oh yeah.
The idea. Maybe I should make some emails like I did back in the old days.
Yes, exactly.
If you don't ask, nothing happens.
Well, you know who you should ask is, you should ask Billy Rowe. Because
oh.
he has, and have him make you something.
Okay, I like that idea.
Yeah.
All right. That's a plan.
And for amps, what have you been using for amps?
So the way that we tour now, for people who don't know, the band is me and my husband. We've been together since we were teenagers.
Sure.
And we decided, all right, if we're ever going to have a family, it's like now or never.
Yeah.
So we have two kids. They both started touring before they were even like 4 months old.
Okay.
And so the way that we tour now, it's like 2 week tours max for the most part. And we usually we fly in somewhere.
Okay.
Play the shows and we fly home. So I have a backpack guitar. It's more of a carry-on, not guitar, head. I use the Dark Glass 500.
Okay.
And then whatever amp or cab we rent, or I borrow someone's cab, or
sure,
I buy one and then I sell it at the end.
That's smart.
You know, just something like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if we start at home, then I get to play my real rig, which is a Mesa Boogie 400.
Okay.
With a 215 cab.
All right.
So I got that in like 1999,
okay,
right when the band first started, from a guy in a church band.
Oh, yeah.
He was like giving up rock and roll. And we went over to his house and I was like, oh, my gosh, in a flight case.
Wow.
And I think it was like $800 for both.
Yeah.
And so like that's the rig I love. But it's really rough bringing that out on the road.
Yeah,
the head, you know, there's so many tubes in there.
Oh, yeah. Blah, 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 well, certainly it's hard. Would be impossible to fly with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That would never work out.
Do you guys ship your merch and then, and like to where you're going to be?
Yeah. Most of the time we'll have like merch manufactured just for the tour sent there. And then we bring home the leftovers or ship it home.
Okay.
Sometimes it's better to just buy a couple suitcases. And
How important is merch for your, I mean, to make it financially successful?
So important.
Yeah.
I mean, in every way now. We're really, really fortunate. A lot of our fans will still buy records, even CDs.
Uh-huh.
But I think most bands really live on a lot of the merch money.
Uh-huh.
You know, we've got an online store. We make probably, I don't know, like seasonally, we do three different sets of new merch every year.
Okay.
You know,
wow.
We do something in the spring, we do something in the summer, and then we have like a big holiday sale.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really important. Yeah. We're always looking for t-shirt designs. People have ideas. We pay for them.
Oh,
never
right
ask
on.
For them for free.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's important. I mean, we don't get a whole lot of money from streaming,
yeah,
know, like everybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
And so there's some royalties. We're lucky.
I think I probably made you at least like a quarter today in streaming.
All right. It's better than Spotify.
Well, it's all YouTube. Sorry.
Well, you know, YouTube, I think YouTube pays out better than Spotify.
I think so, too.
I think so. So
let me ask you. So, I mean, you were kind of put in the bass position, but did you have, I mean, was Susie Quattro or Jackie Fox, were they in your periphery when you were starting on bass?
So I had just learned who Susie Quattro was, and I thought she was amazing.
Yeah.
But the Deal sisters, like Kim and Kelly Deal from the Breeders, you know, I knew of them and I love the Pixies.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it was more that, like the alternative rock thing at that point for me, because it was like 90.
What about the Cramps?
Oh, yeah, of course. I love the Cramps. The Cramps are so wonderful. Yeah. But yeah, I went to see the Donnas play.
Uh-huh.
And it was a venue that doesn't exist anymore in St. Pete,
okay,
Florida, which is, we were in school in Sarasota. We grew up outside of Tampa.
Okay.
And it was before we had moved to Los Angeles. We went to see the Donnas play. And I just remember watching all of them and being like, they're not that much older than me. And, you know, they weren't perfect. They didn't like play perfectly.
Sure,
and,
sure.
You know, but they were having fun and it was cool and all these people loved it. And so it was like at that show that I was like, maybe I'm not crazy for wanting to do the band thing a little bit more seriously. I didn't think, I never thought that I would be doing this at this point in my life. Definitely not. But, you know, it was actually that show that made me think like, well, it'd be really fun if we could do it kind of like that for a while.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And how about like, as far as vocals, like female fronted bands that were with vocals?
Man, my influence at that point was like a lot of girl group music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love like the Ronettes and
sure.
you know, the chiffons, the crystals, like all the Phil Spector, you know, productions, the real building songwriting. Like I love that music. I think a lot of it was growing up in Florida listening to oldies radio, because it used to be amazing. You just turn on the radio in your car and you would hear the greatest music ever.
Sure.
Not so much these days, but that's okay. I got XM now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was that. And then, you know, there were a lot of really great female fronted acts that were alternative rock in the 90s.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was looking at, you know, I don't know, even just radio stuff. I mean, Liz Phair was there. There was Jewel. You know, I learned to play some Jewel songs on my acoustic. Tori Amos. And, and a lot of them had unique voices. So I didn't feel so weird singing. Sure. The thing is, the bass player also sang most of the songs. So when he left the band, I had to learn his songs. Lewis sang like the other half at that point. So, you know, I was definitely very sheepish about it. I didn't want to be in the front.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be singing like that. But after I did it a couple times, I was like, maybe I could get used to it. Yeah. Maybe.
There you are.
I mean, I'm still wondering, but I do it. And I do like it once I'm once it's happening, I'm cool with it. But yeah, I mean, I still feel like an imposter a lot of the time.
Was Kay Hanley or Letters to Cleo, were they on your periphery?
You know, it was so weird they weren't. And, you know, we were in a small town outside of Tampa, so I hadn't learned about, you know, Bikini Kill or any of the Riot Girl stuff yet. You know, we had like inklings of some of the East Bay punk stuff. Anything that could get in that BMG catalog is pretty much all me and my friends had at that point. And so we didn't, you know, we had Nirvana.
Yeah.
And then if we went to a cool record store, we could like, maybe somebody would be like, well, if you like Nirvana, you could check out the Vaseline's or the Pixies.
Sure.
You know, so it was kind of like the organic way of finding music back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, later, I feel like I didn't really know about Riot Girl until I moved to Los Angeles.
Okay.
And met a couple of like really cool like chicks, and they were like, how do you not know these bands? It's like, I grew up in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. And, you know, we didn't use the internet for that. There was LimeWire, I think, and Napster. But you have to know what you want to find on those.
Yeah. So, for sure.
You know, it was just a lot of top 40 oldies radio and alternative rock at that point.
Well, not you have an amazing voice.
Thank you.
Is home for you LA now still, or is it back in Florida?
No, we moved back from LA to Florida when our first kid, who's about to turn 12, was about 6 months old or 9 months old. Because, you know, our families, I'm in Tampa right now.
Uh-huh.
Our families are here. And growing up, we both had, you know, awesome extended family, you know, grandparents would watch us. And so we really wanted that for our kids. And also we could afford to be somewhere with a backyard,
you know,
things like that.
Yeah.
The school's slightly better, maybe. But, you know, we felt like we could just give them a better life as far as family and home life goes if we move back here. So, yeah, we've been in Tampa, like over 10 years now.
Okay. And it's probably...
We still have our apartment in LA, though.
Oh, do you really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, we like dream about going back and making a record. I think the kids are almost old enough for us to like leave them here for, you know, at least a few weeks, and then we'll go. We want to like write the record in the old apartment and then record it. And so we'll see.
That's cool. But being in Florida, it's probably better for you for touring purposes.
It's easy. I mean, we live really close to TPA, which that airport is awesome. You know, we have friends that'll take us to the airport and pick us up.
Yeah.
And usually it's at least two cars because we've got all the stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a really good location. You know, we don't play Florida a whole lot. Our tour coming up, we're playing Florida, which is exciting. Yeah. I think about once a year we try to play Tampa. I think we're like two times a year the past couple of years. But it's nice. It's cool to be reminded that we live somewhere where people care about music. Cause most of the time while we're here, we got our heads down and we're just doing the parent thing all in. So
yeah. Yep. You know. And when you do, so when you go to New Orleans or Alabama, are you going to drive or are you going to fly?
So our tour manager driver is going to fly to Tampa, and we rent an RV. So okay. He'll pick up the RV. We're going to put all the stuff in it, and then he's driving to New Orleans, and then we're all going to fly.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So. And so no bus tours for you?
Only in the UK.
Okay.
They really like us over there, and it makes the most sense. So, yeah.
So if he comes to Tampa and picks up your base, you don't have to worry about flying with it?
Right. So I'm going to bring the main one. I call it Black Beauty.
Okay.
Yes. I'll be bringing the Gibson for Studio 4.
Yeah. What kind of case do you have that you're flying with this base?
It's just the normal hard case.
Oh, my God.
I do have a Gator case that's really, really cool, but it's a little bit of a soft, yeah. It's like a soft hard Gator case.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just a little bit nervous about it.
Oh, I would be too.
Yeah. So I put it in the hard case, lots of fragile stickers. I'm like, please be gentle. So, yeah, I need to get a good flying case.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it on my Christmas list.
Okay, good. Good. Pardon my personal question, but are you guys sober?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Seems to happen, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, on tour, well, I mean, our drummer is, he's sober, but we almost always have the kids with us. So, you know, it's not raging party.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll still drink a bit.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
No drugs, of course, yeah. Which honestly is how we started touring in the RV. Well, there are two reasons. First reason was with touring with like a baby and little kids.
Sure.
We couldn't rely on a venue green room because we never knew who would be in there.
Yeah.
And like what kind of behavior would be going on. So, you know, the RV became like the main green room, like the safe, cool space where I can control everything. And also a place where the kids can be where they're not overwhelmed by people and sound,
yeah,
and all of that. And then for our crew, we also sleep in hotels. Like we travel in the RV, it's the green room.
Sure.
But we get hotel rooms every night. And
yep.
So that way everyone also gets a break from the kids.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's in a lot of ways, it's easier than the bus tours.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, there's a little more separation for everybody.
Sure. And how do you maintain your voice on, you know, when you're flying from Tampa, which is very humid and probably hot, to a place that is cold and probably dry? How do you maintain your voice?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it's just hydration and sleep.
Okay.
Primarily. I mean, the second I get tired, it's shot.
Yeah.
And I do a very bad thing, but it's like my favorite part of touring. And after every show, I talk to every single person that wants to me. But oftentimes, you know, like the house music's loud and
sure.
I end up just screaming all night.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of the time my speaking voice will go way before my singing voice.
Okay.
Which helps.
Yeah.
In the early days when our second album or our third album came out, it's called A Little Messed Up. About halfway through the tour, right when the album came out, my voice just broke. Like, it was just done. And so we had to cancel the rest of that tour.
Damn.
And it was brutal. I flew from Ohio to my parents' house in Florida because I was so freaked out. I was like, I think it's over. Like, I don't know what to do. So I emailed Music Cares.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, all right, here's a doctor. And then they're like, and you need to go to this vocal coach. And we'll pay for like one lesson.
Wow.
And so I went to the voice doctor and he was like, oh, you got this node forming and, you know, you might need surgery, like 6 weeks hard vocal rest, not a peep. And so I was like, okay. And then I went to this guy, Ron Anderson. He's a vocal coach. Amazing, amazing man. He passed away, unfortunately. I wish I could have gone one more time.
Uh-huh.
But he taught me a way to kind of sing around the node in a way that utilizes my head voice and,
sure,
you know, still brings power up, you know, all of those things. But I had taken a couple voice lessons, but it was from like a guy that had like a church choir.
Sure.
And, you know, I'd never had someone who understands rock and roll and touring,
mm-hmm,
be like, all right, this is the way you have to do it if you're going to do this every night.
Yeah.
And so I still warm up to that lesson. I have it like saved on my phone. And so I'll still warm up and do that, like at least the initial warm ups, because then it reminds me like how to do the technique.
Yeah, so. Yeah, of course.
That's great. That's important too.
And so apart from all the music stuff, and I know you have young kids, but is there stuff that you do for fun?
Well, I do. So we're in Tampa, and one of the best goth clubs in the world is here. It's called The Castle.
Okay.
And so we really lucked out with where our kids go to school and the parents that we met. And there's a group of weirdo parents that love going to The Castle with us. And so, you know, like a couple times a year, we'll have like a grown-up trip to The Castle, get babysitters. And I do love dancing and just going out and, I don't know, just not worrying about anything.
Sure.
Thinking, not having anybody look at me while I scream lyrics or do bad karaoke, that kind of thing. But yeah, like a lot of it right now, our kids are so small. Their interests are our interests. So, you know, I'm a soccer mom.
Yep.
My son loves fishing, so we go fishing a lot. We do go on bike rides in our neighborhood, which is pretty close to downtown. So we can ride on the Riverwalk in Tampa, which is pretty cool.
That's
not so great on the weekends. It's pretty crowded now, but, you know, do a lot of that stuff. And I love animals. I have chickens, a dog, two cats.
Oh, really? Right on.
Got a fish tank, some fish and some shrimp. So, yeah.
How many chickens do you have?
I'm at that stage of hobbies.
How many chickens do you have?
I have six right now, which is the perfect amount of eggs for us to, like, give some away each week, or I can make pickled eggs, which I love making beet pickled eggs.
All right. On.
They're purple.
Yeah.
They're so good. People either hate them or love them.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, it's been wonderful speaking with you. I appreciate your time.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I'm outside of San Francisco. So hopefully when you get back here, I'll be
next summer. It's a schedule we stick to every year. So
right on.
We should be there in July.
Okay, cool. Excellent. Okay. I look forward to it. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Make sure I know that you're going to be there. So
I will. Yeah.
All right. Awesome.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Have Guitar, Will Travel. You can catch up on all the things I'm doing at thedeadlies.com. And I'm on all the social media platforms as well. And please support Vintage Guitar and all the wonderful things they do, because they do many, many wonderful things for us guitar players. Thanks. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys. We'll be right back.